Welcome to episode 2 of Fully Boosted, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Jim.
I'm Grant.
Ryan.
And today we have a guest host. His name is Brad. Introduce yourself. Say hi.
Hello. My name's Brad. I'm the local press ganger here in South Jersey, at least specifically for Nerdvana, located in Egg Harbor Township. And I've been graciously invited to join these fine gentlemen.
God, you talk so much. Now, welcome. He should be on frequently as a guest host. He was our quasi-fourth member, but he can't make it frequently. So he's just going to be a guest host, and we can boss him around. It's a lot more fun that way.
Real quick, just since you're not going to be on all the time, you play what factions?
I play Krix, and I have Legion still in boxes that maybe I'll build one day.
Mark III's coming, so yeah. You never know.
Yeah, but there's so much Krix to practice. It's going to be at least another year and a half before I can touch any other faction again.
So much Krix to Krix, you know?
Yeah, I mean, whoever's the best one, I won't play them either, but aside from that, I got a lot of Krix to do Krix on.
All right, so we're going to jump right in. We actually got a question from Paul Costin, a local guy, real nice guy, and he asked us, what caster do you feel really fits your personal playstyle? And then a second part, what caster is challenging for you to play against? So Jim, let's start with you.
Okay, we're going to go around. We'll do what caster fits our playstyle first, and we'll go back around and, you know, pick the shitty ones we don't want to play against. So Fiora 2 absolutely 100% fits my playstyle the most. I'm a dick, and I love burning people. It's a problem. The cops are looking for me. Ryan?
I'm still reacting to the obviousness of that answer. No, I'd say, well, it's kind of a split answer for me, unfortunately. In Kador, it's Butcher 3. I love Butcher 3. I love the movement shenanigans. Syntherian, I absolutely love him in Convergence. I just like the way his clockwork machine works versus some of the other ones.
Brad?
Easily. Mine is Scar 2. Between her own versatility of spell list and her own feat and abilities on herself that allows for diversity within the list she brings, it's just who is almost my default caster. If I don't know who I'm going to play, it's probably her.
I would say mine would be Haley 1. Her with the Colossals just allows me to go up and be
turtle.
Kind of turtle, yeah. And for Signar, I think of the casters I played, she's definitely the best one for that.
All right, so the casters that we've had the most trouble with or that we don't want to play the most, mine's definitely got to be Viros 2. There's a player out of Philly. He just...
Mike Ireland.
Yeah, name names.
He's a
name
cute,
drop.
He's a cute guy.
Yeah, he's a cute guy.
But he's just touched me so many bad ways with that damn list. I know. I feel violated whenever I play him.
Oh, God.
And then he feels it on the War Machine table, too, afterwards. Yeah. Ryan?
Wow, this devolved.
As far as Convergence goes, Sorcia 2, and more Sorcia 2. There is no caster that I've seen so far across the table that makes you just cry on every aspect. Between the remove from play on a stick and the absolute crushing of any armor or box spam of any kind, it's nasty.
Mr. Park?
Two answers, both real quick. Pre-nerf Haley 2, and that's obvious. And now that's after nerf, I mean, I guess I have to go default Haley 1 as a Krix player, but even still, I don't think I have one that I despise.
I do want to double back to Ryan's really quick, because I have gotten into games with him where he was bitching about me playing Haley 2 before the game even started. Just, I came over and it was the bitching started. So I'm actually surprised you didn't say pre-nerf Haley 2.
To be fair, that's pre-nerf. She's been nerfed. I feel
that's true.
It feels the trumpets came out.
I think it's still worth mentioning because she was that good.
Yes,
mine would unfortunately locally. Mine's probably Fiora 2 because I ran a bunch.
I touch you in bad ways.
Yeah, I ran a bunch of dude swarm Signar lists, and turns out they don't like getting set on fire.
War Machine Centipede over here.
Yeah, so fire is not my friend.
It's not a lot of people's friend.
So thanks, Paul, for that question. If anybody else has any questions they'd like to hear answered or anything Mark III related they'd like to even talk about, you can find us on Facebook, post on the wall, or email us at fullyboostedpodcast@gmail.com.
So we're just going to jump right into it. On 4/18, PP released an insider. The new stuff they talked about in there, one of them was the new frenzy mechanic. Brad, you want to go over the new frenzy rules?
If I'm correct, and I'm doing this from memory, but it's a warbeast should it be knocked down or have really any other effect on it shakes all active effects, so it's going to get where it's going, at which point it then charges the nearest model, friendly enemy, does not matter. I guess the only one that would be Legion, if they're still not able to attack their Warlocks.
Right.
Short of that, They then make one attack against it, and unless I misheard or misread, I think it's only boosted damage, not boosted to hit.
Well, they didn't specify whether it was fully boosted attack and damage rolls. Now, obviously, a charge is automatically boosted if you get the charge range, so I'm not sure, but it sounds like it's not.
With it being closest model, I'll be curious to see if they change the wording at all, because it's closest model. That might my model might not be 3 inches away a bunch of times if you've got beasts next to each other.
Well, like if they're like engaged, that. I assume they would just charge and...
And not get the, yeah.
They wouldn't get the bonus from
that's
the
that's what I'm saying. Attack. So you yeah. might not even have a boosted damage roll anymore.
Right, right. And it is at the highest PAL strength weapon they have, just to clarify right. that.
The one thing that we didn't say is they say you charge a model, which would require line of sight, but it also says just the nearest model. So it might allow you to charge in your rear arc, depending on how it's actually worded, which would be interesting for a couple things like Arcadia's feet.
And like all of these spoilers, I mean, we only have, you know, a tidbit instead of the whole rule and the world it lives in.
I mean, my guess would be that it's still going to require a line of sight, but it'll be interesting for stuff that has like the 360 degree vision models that might be able to charge your support staff behind them. It's interesting. It's not as easy to control anymore as it was before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a big deal?
Only if they keep the splatter bore the same.
yeah.
But we don't know. The one other thing is if it came out the way it sounded, where the attack roll isn't boosted, and you know you're going to have a War Beast start its next turn with 3 or 4 Fury, if you have anything defense 14 or higher, you're able to get the closest thing to it, you can pretty much ensure that it won't kill anything if it's not near any enemy models. And if it's stuck in the middle of your lines because it's a ranged War Beast and you know it's going to go after something, put your highest defense thing near it, you're likely not to hit and it won't do anything.
The other thing that's cool too about it is it doesn't really feel like it rewards, excluding something like Arcadius's feat, it doesn't seem like it kind of rewards Frenzy anymore. Oh, it's really high. I'll go real hot, and then the thing I hit, I'll get a boosted attack and damage roll against, too. It was almost like, you still lose the activation, but it could almost be a reward in a way. It was a strategy to frenzy. Now it's more, feels more of a negative
risk.
Thing.
They took the reward away and left the risk on running super hot on frenzy,
yeah.
I feel like.
I agree. Another thing they talked about in that insider was rec markers. As far as you know, rec markers are removed from the game. Now, they didn't specify whether they might make it a terrain piece. But Warjacks, Colossals, they will no longer leave a wreck marker. I think it's good, especially for the nasty Crix players.
Crix
yeah.
assholes sitting in
I got to admit.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
Oh, defense 20 scars. Nothing's wrong with that. That's fine.
I like the cleanness of it, but it was kind of nice to have a dynamic that the terrain change on you in mid-game. But yeah, it was very easy to abuse it in certain lists.
Like, I think one of the things they talked about, or maybe this was on the forums and someone said, is somebody, like a Crix list, may run a light for no other reason other than they had to spend their Warjack points, and then it dies, and they don't care at all, because now they just get to sit in the cover. And I feel like, A, it balances the two Hordes versus War Machine thing, brings a little closer in line with each other, and it's a good feature.
Just a side note, just because I saw it on the forums, and I probably laughed too hard than I should have at it, but someone said that they should add, gore piles to... that would be shallow water and rough terrain. I'm just like, that's just wrong.
Like +2 strength for soaking in the blood of the enemy or something. All right, what's next?
There was a couple other things in the 418 Insider, but it was pretty much just reiterating and clarifying some of the stuff we've already gone over. There was also a forum post that clarified how rate of fire was going to work. So no longer does rate of fire, the number of maximum attacks you can make where you can shoot once with an initial buy up to the rate of fire of the gun. Now, rate of fire is the number of initial attacks you get. You will no longer be able to buy any additional ranged attacks, unless, of course, it has a very specific ability that they're calling reload that will allow you to buy additional attacks.
Up to the number, reload X, up to X as the amount of attacks
yeah.
you can buy.
I know Brad wanted to say something about this.
I'm going
to
throw my Crix colored glasses. My first caster I've ever played was Mournebra. They keep the Sepulchre the same, and she still has interface. That thing will be a gunboat unparalleled.
That's what I was doing with the...
It makes me excited.
Leviathan would be good.
Now,
a bunch.
They gave an example already of a Jack that has a high rate of fire that went to D3.
That was the Manticore. Yeah,
so
say that.
I have a feeling the Grolar, some of the other stuff.
But they wanted to take
these.
Some of the randomization and that stuff out. I feel like doing that, I don't know that that's going to be across the board. I think a lot of things are going to get Rate of Fire 1 with Reload, or Rate of Fire 2 with Reload 1. I don't know if D3 is going to be the norm, but go ahead.
Since the Growler came out recently, it might be Rate of Fire 1 with reload two to get it still the same with thing. The and say each time it does a reload attack, it gets two shots. And it's effectively, since it came out so recently, the same model. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see it selling very similar.
All they
that.
Have to do is change the one ruling, throw and reload.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting because there could be a whole lot of guns, especially on Jax now, that just get to make X number of attacks as initials now.
Signar Charger.
There could be a ton of reloads. Eight shots
from...
two initials that he can fully boost for one, so he doesn't spend three focus anymore.
So good.
Well, it'll be two focus. You have to do it once for each attack.
No, but you're getting one for free. So you only have to dump one focus
to fully
boost
be
two attacks. Yeah,
it'll take two focus.
I think it better have reload.
I think it'll get changed to rate of fire one, reload one.
Eight shots coming from the Prime Axiom.
So... What is the point of getting rid of rate of fire if everything's going to reload?
I think it makes it easier for a transition coming into the game instead of going rate of fire 3. Well, it's really 1, and then you have to buy the attacks.
Special abilities. The thing that was the most confusing with rate of fire, a perfect example came up in a game with the Thunderhead, where it has a special attack that it can do. It's got a rate of fire 3 gun, and it's like if it does the special attack, it twos up one of its rate of fires, and then you can still buy two more attacks, and it's... That one was probably the most confusing I've seen for new players, where it was like, well, there's three things I can do, but in reality, you can only do one of each.
I thought the star attack used up its initial, didn't allow it
to. It used its initial, but you could still buy extra range attacks because it was off the gun.
Okay, yeah, it was weird, but it still used a rate of fire.
Good signal player, I am.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, it's very, the Thunderhead really is very clunky.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's almost like...
Like a Thunderhead?
No, I was thinking about some Colossals that could, you know... Do melee attacks and range attacks and buy additional attacks in the same time, but it just flew out of my mind. So
the Kraken with its kill shot, you have the Mountain King is it the same rule? Kill shot?
Yeah, yeah, but they changed it. We'll get into that, but they changed it to it doesn't have to be a living model anymore.
Right, yeah. Right.
It makes sense just from I think it's just an easier concept. Rate of fire is the number of initial attacks you get to make on the gun, period. It doesn't bring focus into it, nothing. It's just here's how many initials you get to make with that gun.
I
just think it's a streamlining thing.
I don't know how prevalent reload will be anyway.
I think it will be very prevalent on anything that had more than a rate of fire one gun.
Maybe.
I mean, the only one we know about that had more than one rate of fire went to a D3 all the time. So, I mean, we can't truly know. Of which, I don't know how much I like the D3. It's unreliable.
I play with a Galleon.
Yeah, but if you don't have to buy the extra attacks, it may be less reliable, but it's free instead of costing focus.
That also comes back to the idea that these are just spoilers. For all we know, sure, it's 3 points less than it would. You know what I mean? It only costs you 1.5 shots worth of points on that Jack.
Fair.
The only other thing I can think of is that maybe Rate of Fire is now a way for them to combine like Jacks with dual guns, two of the same type of gun, into like a single stat block with Rate of Fire 2. You get two initials. I mean, it wouldn't work for like Colossals because obviously you have the size.
Fire, yeah.
Anybody else have anything on Rate of Fire? All right, so we're going to jump into on the 20th, they released an insider. This was a super big one. The first thing they talked about in it is that unit attachments are now officer attachments now, I believe is what they called it.
Command attachments.
No longer have an FA restriction. They're essentially FAU for as many number of that unit you can take. So, you know, gun mages, if they're FA2 in the new edition, can have two UAs. TFG can have three UAs unless their FA comes down. No, for a fact that trencher commanders can have infinite amount of UAs because they're
and
now
trencher,
feeling...
Trencher infantry. We don't know about the commanders
infantry.
Yet, but yeah.
Anyway. Now, of course, that is... They were making some assumptions here off of what the number of things out there. For all we know, Zealots will still have some way of toning in having... Three Zealots that are immune to everything for a turn.
No, the Zealots are going to get nerfed. You can't have three or more units of immune for a turn.
That's right. There's got to be something else in the balancing we're missing.
Yeah.
But yes.
Two dudes
is going to be awesome.
It's going to be different for you. They'll have a UA and they can take it for however many number of units they have. It just may not do the same thing.
Yes.
Maybe a 10-man Zealot unit's 20 points and the UA's 5. So you can take 3, but it's all 75 points.
Sure. Okay, that would be an easy
likely
way.
Likely not.
It. If you're going to keep trolling me, you're not coming back on the podcast. I'm just telling you.
Meloth is great. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So many 25-point Zealot units. You're fucking full of shit. Along with that, weapon attachments, well, there aren't any more than one type of weapon attachment for any unit currently. if there are more than one type of weapon attachment, you can combine them in any amount up to three for a unit. So we don't have any examples yet because there aren't any in the game, but I assume that means they're going to be putting some in.
I could go for some mix and match to kind of over-specialize a unit. I think they'll add.
And scratch that 40k itch, huh? Get them special weapons in there.
I want two flamers and a melta gun.
Three melta guns. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I think the first time I get them are probably going to be the Winter Guard in Kador. I mean, it seems like the easiest design space to go into.
I hope they don't convolute it too much, though, where you end up with like four different types that you mix and match. I hope it's two. They keep it to two per unit. I think they'll just make it. That'll be easy.
I could see a unit here. They're getting three choices. I don't think they'll ever go above three, though.
I think it's going to be the new attachment. Instead of being like, oh, a new UA came out for this unit, because of how the new UA rules are going to work, it'll be weapon attachments.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
Because you no longer get, I mean, with UAs, you can spam them everywhere. Weapon attachments, three for whatever unit, that's all you can get. A little bit of a balance factor. And you can come out with them more because they're single models. They don't change the entire rule set of the whole unit. It's just some uniqueness and some utility to every unit. So I think it'll be really good.
They came out with cards, finally. Finally, we got to see some Mark III cards. Like, fucking amazing. I'm going to run through them quickly. I'm not going to cover every stack, so you can find them if you go look at the inside. They're all there. We'll cover significant changes. I'm going to start with the Slayer, which they talked about. I think the only thing of note that I saw in there was that they added Construct. Was it already Mat 7 before? Do you know off the top
Mat
of your head?
Mat 7 before.
So they added the Construct icon just in the simplification of, you know, now it's not an assumed implied ability. It's there.
That seems to be something that they're doing everywhere.
Yes.
Is they are literally pulling everything apart. There is no assumptions. Everything's on cards. Everything's...
I think the only thing of note on the Slayers, it has hard head now. I don't know if it had that before. I don't believe it did. So that's on there. The Mountain King, troll players can... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Slayer is also only 10 points.
10 points and FAU.
So this is the second Warjack that we've seen spoiled. Well, point cost that we've seen spoiled.
Yes.
Except for the Conquest, which they confirmed was going to be 37. It is also only 1.5 times its normal point cost, because I believe it's six.
Six now.
And now it's 10, or no, 2/3 its point cost. So it didn't, another jack that didn't double, it only went up a percentage.
We actually, I mean, not to jump away from the cards, and we'll get back to them in just a second. We know a couple point costs for jacks, because they also had the image that came out on Bell of Lost Souls that showed the inflictors going from 8 to 13.
Yeah, and Seethers also at 13. That was in that too.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't see those.
That was an unconfirmed thing.
There was a photo of a sprue, which Uvlix looked like an old GW sprue, like the injected plastic. And then above it said 8 equals 13, reference to the point cost. So those also came out. So the Crix jacks so far right now seem to have gone up about 1.5 to 1 2/3.
Of note on the card, the pictures are a little bit bigger, and up in the corner they have a little year with a version number, which I think could be very interesting.
I think that might be more for the fact that it's a sample on it, and that probably came right off a PDF.
A lot of people were saying, and I think I agree, I think it would be an easy way for them to errata and come out with cards. Here's version 2 of that card, post errata.
Mm. Yeah,
They did say during one of the last erratas when so much changed, I think it was the Bombardiers got CRA, the Mountain King gained assault during that errata, that someone had asked a question, how do you plan on redoing the card? So it might very well be correct to make sure they're using the most recent one.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, like with my wife, she'd start playing Lich 2 and had to show some of the card and go, well, that's not really the card because it's been errated 4 times because they never reprinted a new
she
card.
She got an older one, right?
Right. So I think this would be really good for them to do. It's going to allow...
I'd be all for it, but that means they're going to have to keep coming out with, like, version decks. You'll have to keep buying that.
Or go to free shipping. It's 50 cents for a card.
Yeah.
Say they do it once a year. They errata right now twice a year. How many things are changing where you would need a new card anyway?
I mean, getting access to it is great. If you want to be able to buy the card, if you're not going to just use War Room, it is definitely nice. So,
and that War Room update for free. I mean, once we get into Mark III at least. So,
So I'm going to move on to the Mountain King. It is now Mat 6. So
look, can I just say, I mean, I'm not like a full-time troll player, but... Oh, thank fucking God. That card makes me just so happy to see one of the what I consider one of the most beautiful models in the entire line.
So far, he said one thing that was Mat 6. You mentioned the whole card. Let's let him finish it there. Calm down.
So on top of that, the icons, they added Pathfinder to Colossal cards, we can assume, which is another just streamlining. They have this instead of having to go, well, it doesn't show it. It's there. Assault now became an icon. I think just a brief second on that. Does that mean in units, because the Trencher Commandos, which are infantry, You got me doing it, which we'll get to in a second. Now have it. Do you think that changes the way it works?
I don't know, because before on units it was an order. I don't know how it's going to work as an icon. It's just an ability on the cards. Now, assuming it's, you know, you can do an assault if you charge.
That's what, like, I'm
if
thinking.
That's the universal rule that, or when you charge, then it doesn't matter if it's an order because you still have to give the run charge order.
That's how I think they would do it, honestly, because like you talked about where somebody could call you out for not doing the assault order. I think that would just streamline.
It's like everything else that they seem to be doing is trying to remove a little bit of the entry level and everything by making everything. There's no assumptions.
Brad, do you have any thoughts on this?
My only thing was when the statement came out that they're trying to simplify the game, the concern was how simple are you going to make it? We're in it because there are the complexities of playing a miniatures game. But the one thing that doesn't need to be complex is what the models can do and how you're doing it. So if a unit has assault, it doesn't make you have to say it anymore. If you don't want to take the gunshot, just don't roll the dice. But if you're after the unit and you say, I'm going to do a run charge order, you get there and then you go to take your gunshot and your opponent says, no, you didn't say assault. It just seems too specific to be necessary.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody know if the old assault order didn't allow you to run? Like, you had to give the assault order, which wasn't a run charge order. Were you not able to run?
I think you were still able to. I think the difference came in because you had the ability to assault, is that most players would rather do the assault move of your distance plus three, take the shot, and then fail the charge, rather than run and do nothing. So I think you still had the option to. I just don't think it was utilized much because it gave you the range attack on the end.
I never had anything that was a unit with assault. I had
it. I have. But nobody's stuff. Ever. I don't think I ever said assault once, and no one ever said a word to me about
it. But it could be. It could be a difference, and you can now run instead of assaulting everything.
The other note on the front of the card, at least, is its point cost is 36. So I believe that would make it essentially 2 points
it's
cheaper
than doubled.
It's essentially
an 18-point
Mountain
King now, right? With the new point cost, which is really big for it because it was definitely probably overcosted.
So on the back of the card, we'll get into the big things. Its animus is now rage. And yeah, I don't... go ahead.
No, I'm assuming that means rage is no longer on the mauler.
Yeah,
I don't think you're going to see duplicate animi.
No.
So that's a big deal for trolls. If they can't take a 10-point or 9-point heavy for the 3+ damage increase, they got to take a Mountain King. I mean, it definitely has a good animi now. It's not a shitty animus.
I don't play much hordes. I know generally you don't want your good animi on targets that are going to be getting gunned for anyway. I know that's generally kind of a problem.
Sometimes you don't really, you can't help that. I mean, Lightning Strike on a Warp Wolf is a good animus, but it's on a beast that you're going to have up there doing stuff.
You could just sit a Mauler in the back and
I'll be honest.
Throw Rage out.
The Mauler was enough points that you wanted to at some point use it in the game. So to me, this is just more points to the Mountain King, like making it more of a value and trying to offset the cost of it a little bit. I'm all for pretty much everything on that card.
The one other nice thing is I think with it having Rage on there, it just changes how you can design lists as a whole. I don't know if you can put the Mountain King in any troll list because it still has the same exact defensive stats. The boxes, defense, and armor are the exact same.
We don't know about the boxes, for the record.
But fair enough. We don't have the boxes card, but the defense and armor are the exact same. I'd imagine the boxes will be in the same range. Even if they change them mildly, it's still effectively the same toughness to kill. But if you were to build a list, say, around like a Bearka 2 or a Doomy 3, even Doomy 2, assuming that their spell lists and feats are relatively the same, it now gives you a tremendous offensive piece between the one we didn't mention yet, but the change to kill shot, it has assault, it has rage to get itself up to power and strength 22. So I think you just need to put it in a defensive list, and it's an offensive.
They also did change it to Warbeast. And as an idiot, I did not mention that.
That one's more of the no putting it on your champs and laughing.
No pal 19 Madrak. Axe, I think everybody was.
I didn't even know this
that
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't catch that either.
Borka's a little sad about that.
Oh, Madrak's sad. A lot of them are sad.
I mean,
about
For your other damage buffs, if you're not taking a Mountain King, I mean, it's great for a Mountain King. It now has an animus that's worthwhile, but if you're looking for a damage buff, you're going to take Pyre Trolls and Flag Trolls.
This is why I'm not worried about it. We're probably still going to have the plus two.
Yeah.
They also put duration on there instead of having it worded, which
is
nice.
I do like that. I love that.
One last note for Rage. They did say it lasts for one turn. I think people talked about that for either during Frenzying or Free Strikes, I think was a...
It won't work, because round is what you would need for
it. Last time. Rage didn't... Rage only lasted until the end of turn.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Okay, I don't know, to be honest.
Anyway,
I, So the other things it got, Bulldoze, that's the same as it's been before. I don't believe that ability
It's useful on a large model that can assault, so you charge it in, push stuff out of the way, finish your charge, spray over a bunch of stuff, punch something, spray over some more stuff. It definitely got better. It definitely did.
Kill Shot. This was changed to once per activation when an enemy model is destroyed or removed from play as a result of a melee attack made by this model during its activation. Immediately after that attack is resolved, this model can make one basic ranged attack. So you can snack, and it's not living model, which I believe it was prior.
It was, yeah. If it killed a robot, it didn't care.
Like Ryan said, it can now snack because snacking has been changed to when this model boxes a living model with a melee attack, it can choose to remove the box model from play. When it does, this model can remove D3 damage points.
Don't need to heal. You can be at full health and snack. You can snack. You don't have to choose between snacking and kill shot. It fixes a lot of what was wrong with the mat.
When does kill shot trigger?
When its enemy model is destroyed or removed from play.
Never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Whelp shedding. I don't know if this That's changed. Almost I'm not going to lie. Same. Okay. And then they put on the gun, which is a spray 10 pal 16. It got deafen as an ability, which is a model hit by this weapon suffers -2 defense and cannot give or receive orders for one round.
I love it.
So yeah, if that's what we're in for Colossals.
I love it. The one thing is they talk about simplify. That's the goal of this edition. That ability on that ability on the gun is going to be pain in the ass. Because individual models hit can't receive orders. So you're going to have members of units that don't die that won't be able to charge or won't be able to get this order. You're going to have to keep track which one.
It also says can't give. So does that mean if you hit the leader?
Yep. No.
Wow. There's, I didn't think about
you
that.
You hit the UA or the leader, yeah. You can't give that order.
That's There's always sweet. Been bookkeeping things on this game. Focus on models, soul tokens, and corpse tokens.
And also, let's be fair here. We're talking about a PAL 16 and infantry. Unless it's the heavier duty medium infantries, they're probably not there
What
anyway.
If they're tough? We'll get into that in a minute. So I'm just going to run through the trencher, the whole card real quick, if that's okay with everybody. So they were bumped up to Rat 6. They got Assault. They got Tough. Their Command 8, I don't know if that's what they were before. I think it was. On their melee weapon, which I should have mentioned before, there is now the range.
Thought we were going to save that for the end.
No, I should have. I'm kind of out of order. There's too much shit. I'm just super excited. the bayonet on the trenchers is now range 1, so they have a 1-inch reach. So let's talk about that, because that's a pretty big deal. We now know of 0.5 inches, 1 inch, and 2 inches for reach.
They added mini reach, with the things that don't make sense to not be able to hit over a wall, like bayonets or jacks.
So to retcon real quick, the Slayer has range 1 on all its weapons, and the Mountain King naturally is range 2.
I thought the horns were still 0.5.
Nope.
No.
Are they really? Everything's a 1.
But if the horns had been 0.5, I would have been like, I wonder where it's going to land. The fact that the horns are 1 inch, I think all large bases will probably have a 1 inch reach.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, wild speculation, but...
And I said I was going to run through the whole card, but then I saw that, realized that I derped, so they kept digging. Smoke Bombs was changed to, it is still star action, center a 3-inch AoE cloud effect on this model. The AoE remains in play for one round, so the change is not centered within 1 inch.
Yes.
The bayonet's got brutal charge, so +2 to charge attack damage roll with this weapon. So, and trenchers are now 10-16, which is the effective 5-8 instead of
they
now
got a point reduction.
Where they're 6-10, and they were changed to FAU. Now I'm done. Go.
They made them viable. In a way, in a bubble, they fixed what my understanding of all of the trenchers' problems were. The point cost, some of the abilities. I'll be curious to see that center on cloud, if that affects all of the clouds that used to be placed within 1 inch. Because I will tell you right now, as far as a bookkeeping nightmare, it was always a mess. Because if you wanted that 1 inch, it doesn't technically, like the rings or whatever your method for it was, you could never actually get it far enough away. Or you'd put it past the base and it would be too far. So
be leaning on the top of your forehead.
It was never a clean place. So I'll be curious from a mechanical status if that affects most of the clouds like that.
As far as the trencher infantry goes, I definitely think they got a buff. It'll still to be seen whether or not they're going to be worth playing after comparing it to all the new changes.
Through my Signar tinted goggles, I think they're really good. Now, I don't know what they're doing with every other unit, but I think that unit is much better and certainly playable.
I think it'd be hilarious to see these guys get this buff, and then when you go look at your infantry, you're like, they're fucking shit. They're still shit.
And you know what?
Everything else is so good. They're terrible.
I'm fine, because that means everything else is way better.
Other people's infantry might be way better too. They might just be in the same niche they are now.
You can only compare it to
obviously. Other I just think it would be funny. It'd be a little hilarious. Son of a bitch, they're way better, and I still will never play them.
It'd be like units get nerfed.
My only—it's not even so much the trenches. I'm speculative to see if we see a 1.5 inch melee range.
I don't think so. I don't either.
I don't like because it seems to go the other. That's going to be a pain. A 1 inch is really easy to measure. 2 inches is really easy to measure. Half inch is annoying as hell to measure.
Yeah, but
1.5 would be a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Widgets exist. I mean, they don't exist now because we've never had to measure an inch and a half. It's real. I mean, I don't design them, and I don't know who does.
Maybe it's 1 centimeter.
Oh boy, that'd be fun. We switch between Imperial and it'd be great.
22 millimeters. Like
it's definitely possible, but I also don't believe they're going to do it.
Well, it's just in my head. It was my way to scale down some miles that probably needed. And I'll be the first to say, Bane Knights. I mean, instead of giving them the full 2 inch reach, give them an inch and a half.
They might only have a one now.
That'd be fine.
That's what I'm saying. They might have just gone down to one. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, they didn't have reach before, or even 1 inch. The infantry didn't.
No.
So I'm not sure. I mean, they may keep two. It'd be cool. Originally, I was hoping it would be like base size determined reach and not weapon. It'd be. Small bases were a half inch, medium bases were one, large were two, and then like three or four for Colossals because they said they were going to get more badass. So I was hoping maybe they got the little... Because a power sweep with 4 inches is a whole lot better than the power sweep with two. So, but yeah. At least they changed it. So I'm happy about that.
I'm glad to see you're taking a unit which was widely considered garbage up until Haley 3. And even then, they only got played because of the smoke wall, the moving smoke wall. I'm glad to see that... You took that, and at least looking at that through Mark II eyes, which I know is not the way to do it, but they're much better.
I can't wait for moving smoke wall trencher infantry that then assault into your face with double POW 11s. I mean, that sounds amazing.
Right. It's super right. sweet for the flank on the trench buster.
Get onto the nut kick.
All right. Iris 2 was the other card that got spoiled. Notable changes onto her.
It says Iris 2.
It does say Iris 2, which I think is just...
I really like.
And I posted this on our Facebook group. I think that's just for ease of... Instead of having to go P versus E Iris.
I cannot tell you how many times, especially when you're a veteran player talking to a new guy, and you go, yeah, you need to get this T, or this 2, this 2, this P, this 2, 2. And they're like... Wait, who? And then they'll say a name, and I'm sitting here going, I have no fucking clue what the hell that is. Which Gatsby is it? Mm-hmm. Was that Gatsby 2 or is that Gatsby 3?
So this change is specifically because there's now three versions of casters now. There's two epics.
Yeah.
So saying epic Haley doesn't help anybody because there's two different epic Haleys. They're just clarifying it so that it's less of a bookkeeping nightmare to try and figure out who you're talking about. So it's going to be version, you know, the normal name, you know, Iris 2, Iris 3, just like everybody called them anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just going to run through the rest. She is mat 7 now. She got Assault, which is stupid. Her crossbow, they now have Blessed and Disruption as icons. Her crossbow has now gained Blessed and Disruption. Was it a magic? I don't think it was a magic weapon before either.
No, it wasn't.
It's now a magic weapon.
No, it was not.
Her bayonets are 0.5 inch reach, so that's where we saw that come in. She has a weapon master on both, a PAL 6 and a PAL 7 on the saber. And
that's new.
They both have magic weapon, Blessed, and Disruption. Her abilities, right quick, they changed Partisan to an actual thing instead of just saying Partisan. Like, so now there's room for it to be Partisan faction for other things. I don't know if anybody picked that up, but it's the thing that lets her be a rep model.
Yeah, I thought it was already worded that way.
But they made it like Partisan brackets. So I think that's going to open up some of the mercs to maybe... Or allies, like for ally units,
maybe
they might be maybe change
something to clean something
partisan.
To clean up.
Was,
what the hell is an ally?
She was the only one in the game with that rule. I don't think there was another partisan model.
No, but ally like precursor knights, ally.
Just a
I think they may
thing.
Change it to that.
It's a cleaning.
She gained reposition, which is the new word for reform. So she has a 3-inch reform and kind reposition.
Of.
Yeah, I'm sorry. At the end of an activation, which it did not run or fail a charge, this model can advance up to 3 inches. Then its activation ends. She has Spellbreaker, which. They totally changed the way she works. When this model hits another model with an attack, enemy upkeep spells on the model hit expire. The caveat is, a spellcaster can keep its upkeep in play by suffering D3 damage points. She also has Witch Hunter, which is when an enemy model declares it is casting a spell while within 10 inches of this model. This model can immediately make a basic attack targeting the enemy spellcaster. If the spellcaster is destroyed as a result of this attack, the spell does not take effect. And her crossbow now has Purgation, which is an additional die on attack and damage rolls with this weapon against models with enemy upkeep spells or Animus on them. And a note on that would be if they choose to not to take the damage to upkeep that, she would not get the additional die on her damage rolls.
Now, I believe she no longer removes animi, correct? Like that, the
correct upkeep spells only.
It doesn't take anything off. I'm sorry, it doesn't take focus off.
That is
correct. She loses the ability to strip focus, but she also took animi off before. It was animi and focus were all removed.
But there is some rumors that disruption may be changed to where the way the E-mancers work, where maybe it'll just be a cumulative minus one.
We're not doing the rumor mill right now. Fine. For that. They're far out.
Yeah, there's too many rumors.
There's just too much.
Regardless, she had disruption before. Now it's an ability on the weapon.
I absolutely love the change. First of all, it makes it so that it's not just an immediate, haha, you're screwed. But what I actually really like about it is the fact that there is a lot of times, I Windrush with Sorsha and I'm defense 20, and even though you're a 19, you're still gonna have one hell of a time hitting me. And it's like, well, now I get to ignore some of that, and I think you get a little bit of both ends here. You'll be easier to hit and you'll get to ignore some of the defensive bonuses, but it's not an automatic strip.
Brad, your thoughts?
For a solo, having it be automatic, near automatic because of her rat, to do what she did in Mark II, to make it so that there's a piece that's effectively a control piece that you can stop from happening. You know, if you need Arcane Shield up on your Stormwall, for example, you just take D3 damage on Junior. I mean, if you do it twice in two turns, you might die. But the ability to stop her from doing everything all the time seems really, really strong.
That is definitely a trend that PP has started implementing with Repudiate and now this. Do you think all of them are going to go that way?
To where
optional stripping?
I think it's a great way to balance purify.
I think purification is going to be much less prevalent, at least in its current form. And then things that would strip, even the Witherstrider Combine currently still do the same thing. If it's automatically stripped and you take damage. So I think they're going to get away from that. I think they might give the Combine the same thing that Iris has if they're going to change it, but within that 5-inch bubble still.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see of the interaction of, all right, my caster is going to cast a spell. Like, Old Witch has Iron Flesh on herself, and she's going to cast a spell. And Iris shoots her. Well, I can keep the upkeep spell up if I take D3 damage, and then I cast another spell, and she shoots me again. Is that only once per turn, or is that...
I did not remember. I will look right now.
I think she's certainly really good. She gets the rule that Harlan Birch had.
Yeah.
So she's always hitting pretty much if you have an upkeep out.
It is not.
It's not once per turn?
It is not.
Yeah. So it's the same rule as Harlan Birch. That's what I thought. So you have to be really careful if you start casting because she will just start killing stuff.
It doesn't do damage. It's
an attack.
Yeah. It's like the Holt shot.
It doesn't say it's not. It just says make a basic attack targeting the model.
Yeah, Witch Hunter is...
I thought it stops the spell, the effect of it hitting...
If it kills the model.
Witch
Hunter's on Harlan Verse.
I thought it was like a new version of like the Holt shot where you just get to shoot and the spell fails.
No, she gets to plink you with her crossbow. So a Purgation Blessed Disrupted Crossbow. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems good. I got nothing else.
You're only going to get one of those shots because after they cast the first spell and get shot by an Iris, they're not going to keep casting
spells. But it's almost a way to shut down a caster. Yeah. I'm going to move her here. She's defense 16 or buffed to something else. And if you cast a spell, I'm going to pink you with her.
I mean, the one other thing is her point cost went directly from 3 to 6.
Yeah, sorry. That was the last thing
I feel like she's worth 6. From the little bit of models we've seen and how their point cost worked. Mind you, we don't know exactly if disruption is changing, but even short of that, even if we were to take disruption off her card, I think she still might be worth 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still an insanely accurate, relatively high damage shot.
I think
shot.
She goes from being a game ender, not that she couldn't, but she goes from, you got that Iris shot off, game's over, to a really, really strong support piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's nice that we now have another one of those trouble solos that could just flat out win you the game with a single shot as a 3-point model, being now another really good piece, but it's not going to do that anymore. It's just like the Gorman nerf. He's no longer going to just lock down your Colossals.
Completely deserved.
Still worth 2 points.
Easy.
And she's still worth her 6 points. Yeah, she's still really good, but she's no longer going to be like, well, you're dead. That's it. Game over.
Every time they spoil stuff, I lose production at work, but I get... a little more faith in PP as far as the changeover goes.
Next, we're going to run into the insider from the 21st, where they discuss theme forces.
Yeah, that's...
Brad, you want
to... I love it. I as someone who doesn't necessarily mind playing against Mad Dogs of War, maybe because I'm a masochist, I guess, But I think the ability that going from an addition to the next, where if you bought models, you're still able to use them, and now you have more options with those models, the benefits may not be what they were. I mean, I don't think they're going to give point reductions to Doom Reavers no matter what their point cost comes out to, but it'll allow you to play Mad Dogs of War with effectively any caster now.
That's my thing. Some of the theme forces where you're going to be able to play it with different casters? Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Mad Dogs of War doesn't exist anymore. Doom Reavers themselves are now FAU. The theme list that you know of now are all gone.
Oh, no. Yes. We're saying that you can still effectively make that theme list with just the model options. Yes,
but what they're doing is essentially kind of turning theme forces into what merc contracts, which is awesome. You can now have a theme force that has nothing to do with the caster. The caster has no bearing on it whatsoever.
Right.
You can change caster to caster to caster to caster, use the same theme force.
And they did say it in that report that it's going to be more in-game effects, and they gave an example of that with theme force benefits.
Well, there was two. There was gun mages that gain CRA.
CRA.
Which, is awesome on gun mages, assuming they are how they are now.
It's okay. It's still only a 6-7 man unit, so CRA on smaller units isn't as good. But hey, get a couple rat 9 shots.
Deadeye and Crit Brutal.
But that's what I really like. That's perfect. It's not crazy powerful, and it's very fluffy.
If you put all 6 in a 1, you go to what?
16.
Rat 13,
Pal 16. That's nasty.
Mm-hmm. The other one was War Beasts, and for Trolls, get +2 Threshold.
For one of the themes, which was...
Yeah, that was the other...
Which was really cool. Hint theme. And they did do the part where some of the stuff, like certain themes let you do specific models out of faction. They still had that built into it.
Did they say that?
Well, the Arcadius. Arcadius can bring the Gorax Ragers. So, and they called them Gorax Ragers, which I don't think is what they're normally called.
They're not. So there's either going to be a different Gorax, or they just rename them similar to Doom Reavers, which are now Doom Reaver Swordsmen, which I didn't say the first time.
I think they're doing that, giving the second name, so it's easier to come out with more alternates to those. Like the Wild Argus. It's not just an Argus anymore. It's a Wild Argus.
Yeah, I mean, if I can make one point, and this is a jump to a different game, I think when Magic first came out, in its design aspect, whenever you were to name a card, it was a something X or an X something. So if you were to name a card, I'm just going to use the standard. If you were to name it Bear, you couldn't ever make another version of it. You could do Grizzly Bear, Black Bear, Bear of whatever. It made it so that you could make different variants of those same models and then give it slightly different name. So I think you're exactly correct.
And also for keywording, I think you're going to have Doom Reaver whatever, Doom Reaver Swordsman. I don't even know what other Doom Reavers you can bring into the game. I don't want to think about
all the Doom Reavers. Like, bring them all.
It's almost like the Goblin Fanatic, like a Doom Reaver flail man or something. He's just whipping around a flail, killing stuff.
Doom Reaver Gun Mages.
Oh my God.
It is the year of the Gun Mage.
Yes.
No one can see you pantomime shooting.
Yeah, I know. It's all right.
He doesn't get that it's an audio medium. We have to keep telling him.
I do.
The other thing on the Insider is mercs and minions no longer have packs or contracts. If you want to play gators and pigs all, dicking around on the same table, you can. You want to take Arcadius and run Gatorman? You can do it.
I thought they actually said specifically you couldn't do...
Not beast, Gatorman.
I think it's War Beast, I think, are specific for their battle group.
Yeah, which is fine.
Right.
This makes Helga amazing.
I was just going to say.
When she came out, everybody's like, oh my God, you put her in any other list, even Gators, and she's amazing. And I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, Croaks with freaking all the shit she can do to them.
I didn't think about
Croaks. Gators with Defender's Ward?
Brad, I didn't get your thoughts.
If I had to take a guess, though, I don't think Croaks are going to stay where they're at.
Oh, okay. Gators with Grand Slam.
Yes, it's pretty good.
That's pretty nasty.
Gators with Defender's Ward.
And
it's even worse. They get up to defense 15, armor 20 with their unyielding.
It's good. It's real good.
Does any Gatorman Warlock make pigs crazy? Is there a reverse? Like, does any Gatorman Warlock go like, oh my God, craft talisman?
I'm sure. You know what? It's fun. I don't think so, but
probably not. Yeah.
Who knows?
So I think you're gonna see significantly more animosity. That's just a theory I have.
I don't think there's so, because that defeats the purpose of what they're
doing. I couldn't
think
of examples, but I feel like in mercs, there's got to be examples of, units or cat that just, if you put them together, it'd be bonkers.
I don't know.
Maybe not. I think you're going to see it. I don't know.
There is animosity. There will be animosity.
Right, that already exists. You can't have Alexia and Versh.
They made a specific call to the religions.
Exelon Thexis army with Gaston Cross and Galleon in it.
Exelon Thexis was specifically mentioned. Cephalix was specifically mentioned as still not playing nice.
They
still don't play nice with others.
They're brainwashed. Start giving me mercs and then we can play that game.
Yeah, I mean, all right. I was just excited for that. I don't even play it. But like Exelon Thexis, like Gaston Cross, Galleon seemed like a real party together.
That seems good.
It's probably why they're not doing it.
Yeah, I guess.
And then today, on the 21st as well, they also came out with the new Primecast. And this has a ton of stuff in it. They pretty much go through each faction and attempt to give you more stuff. They did a lot of fluff. We're not going to cover the fluff here. So we're just going to go through it. We're going to start with Signar. What's new? The Ironclad is going to be 12 points. Now, do we know if that's also like 1.5 times? Like it was 7, right?
It was
right?
7, yeah.
So right again, another Warjack that's right less than doubling.
It's closer like to doubling closer than some of the others.
Yeah.
I did wait till he reads that sentence.
It gets
here.
A real nice ability.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay.
It's drastically.
Let's let him read it. I know what it is.
It's got a star attack now. Instead of Tremor, he can make an attack. It does damage, no longer just knocks down. You center then a 4-inch AoE on the target hit, and everything in that 4-inch AoE besides the storm, the Ironclad is knocked down. It's just better all the way around.
You don't give up your attack, and you get to charge with it. It's amazing.
I mean, if I can make any point, when I first started doing demo games, like as a press ganger, when the store opened up, and I was using Signar as the army I was demoing against. Now, I had never really seen an Ironclad on the table that I remember playing against specifically. So when I was demoing the game, it was kind of the first time I was reading that card in detail. And I was surprised that when it did its Tremor, it did nothing else.
Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't even seem worth it.
No. You give up your attack and you have to roll the hit still. Right. And
like, to me, that's that what it is going to be feels to me what it should have been. Like, it doesn't seem too crazy. It just seems good.
You don't have to roll to hit the things that get knocked down. You just have to hit the target you swing on.
Are
you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That buff alone to it. But now it gets to get further away. It does the damage.
I do want to throw this out to Ryan back to the FA. Jay from Chantac just tweeted, I'm not sure I'm ready to live in a world where Enigma Foundries might pay FAU or FA4. And I hadn't even thought.
Oh, it's coming. The FA4 is coming.
Oh, yeah, I guess because they were like,
it's fine. You can't take as many infantry as you could before.
That's true.
No.
Yeah.
Because again, we've already talked about this. We did talk about it. You have 25% less points to spend on infantry.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't mean to derail. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. So next we have Kador. Ryan, would you like to cover what the Kador stuff is?
So, this really, really makes me want to give up the bed at TempleCon and go back to playing Kador. So,
wait for
Manowars get a ninja buff.
Kador's head explodes. Kador fans' head explode all over the world.
They even made the comments of, they were the first heavy infantry, and you know, when you're the first, blah, 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 blah. This is perfect for what they are in my mind. They stay at 8 boxes, and all other heavy infantry that they spotted,
most
they did not say all. Okay, go to 5 boxes. So that is a huge difference. They also said they're getting their officer, which we kind of knew because of the spoiled art.
Shock troopers
specifically. That grants no knockdown, no push, can't get moved around the way they said it, so there might be no place. And some other abilities, apparently, that weren't spoiled. That's awesome.
So, like, the Tiberian rule right now?
Yeah.
It is where it is.
It's where it is, and you're not moving it. And I've got more boxes, and I probably have slightly more armor than a lot of it.
So, wait. You guys have to listen quietly, because you might hear Ryan die. You can also repair Manowars now.
You could kind of do that already.
Ryan, do you want us to pause so you can go, like, jerk off in the bedroom?
They specifically said you can now repair them. So
yeah,
obviously weren't repairable before.
If you took the UA, you could. You had to take the shitty UA.
Yeah, I mean,
mechanics.
Just to jump aside, if I had to guess another unit that was going to stay at 8 boxes, I'd give it to warders.
I think so too. We'll get to it. When they talk about it, they talk about the niches and how warders are definitely durable. So I think that might be one of the mostly
that
not
seemed
changed ones.
That seemed to be a general overalling theme between all of these, is that they were trying to make the infantry more niche.
There was a lot of people on the forum that were bitching, oh great, now warders can't hit as hard and they're only 5 boxes. Thanks, BJ. Yeah.
They gave them something else.
So now this is the other part that just makes me smile so much. When they said this, I was in the car going, ah! So the Conquest gets high explosive. So it's got a flat blast damage of POW 10. And they made a specific call to Creeping Barrage. So oh yeah, baby, here comes the four AoEs of POW 10 sitting in front of me.
So the way that it's going to work, I believe, is high explosive X, right?
Correct.
And X is the blast damage.
They had this on, high explosive was somewhere else. I can't remember now.
Doesn't matter.
But yes, it's high explosive X, all blast damage from that model is X damage.
That is an awesome
effect. Is Creeping Barrage blast damage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
That was one of the things that sucked was in POW 6 blast damage.
Was it not bad enough to have two POW 10 covering fire templates or POW 12 covering? You're going to have fucking four POW 10 covering fire templates
And the best part now, it even makes some of the, like the double shot, because they mentioned that, so I'm assuming that's keeping that too. Mm-hmm. But the double shot on the cannons gets more useful with that. There's a lot of stuff that's just amazing. The main gun is now POW 10 on its blast damage.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't
The explosive 10 might be tied to the side gun.
No. It was said to the model.
I can't confirm that. I don't know.
And he's 37 points? 36.
37 points.
It's 37. Juggernaut's 12.
Yep. People were making jokes that he was the only odd number they'd seen so far.
I love that ability. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it fixes almost everything that was wrong with the Conquest. I love it.
I think it's terrible to have four covering fire templates that are blast 10.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Revelator. How many POW 14s
I have to
are
hit
you going
to
put down?
For that to happen. Okay. He just puts down four fucking covering fire templates.
I know.
I don't get to shoot the side guns when I do it.
I mean, neither does a Stormwall. People already
bitch about four covering fire templates from double Stormwalls. You could put eight down with two Conquests.
Oh, no, you're going to still take a Victor.
When you can put eight POW 10s down on the table, most single wound infantry can't.
That's true. That is very true.
8 times 24 inches of the whole table, the entire middle third of the table.
Is Harkovich still looking cute?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm glad I had him already in my case now.
So you get to put eight of those down and then fire four of the big guns with Harkovich? Like,
I was still already thinking about buying a Conquest because I wanted to do something real cutesy with Kiazi and laying the Creeping Barrage on top of them so that you had to move away or you take the POW 6 or you take the Kiazi backstrike when they go through you. Now it's a POW 10.
We're also looking at this in a vacuum where there may be some other things on the model that we don't know.
And then actually this, I was really happy to hear this and less so for the specifics, but more so for the overall and comment that they made with it. But they said that P. Sorsha is still Sorsha. They gave her her spell list. It hadn't changed.
Didn't they say that she has Whirlwind now?
No, they said Windrush, which she already had.
Oh, no, Cyclone. Didn't they say Cyclone?
No, they said Windrush.
I thought, because they called it out specifically, like, she's pretty much exactly the same. She went through her spells, and then now this spell.
Maybe they were talking about Epic Sorsha, who lost Windrush for Cyclone, which I've always considered Windrush better, because I like the plus 2 defense. Whatever. But regardless, they said she still plays like she does, and she was the first caster I ever played in Mark 1. I've always loved her playstyle, because it is janky as hell. The other thing that was said with the overall in comments was that most Warcasters still feel like they're Warcaster. Like, they still feel like their old selves, which I think is really cool. Because if you've already been drawn and invested into a caster, while the rules might change, the actual feel of the caster, if that's going to stay more or less the same, that's really cool. I like that.
Just like back, like,
I'm also
like one thing I was worried about, and I'm sure they'll change it, but one thing, like, when they... with Rate of Fire, that with Epic Kane, I'm sure they'll probably just make it Reload Infinity or whatever, but there was a second where I was like, that's his whole fucking shtick.
When put that up there, the Reload blurry, he put it as bracket XXX bracket. And I was just like, I hope his button stuck.
So I think that was it for Kador.
Next is Krix. This will be really fast. Nothing new. They confirm Krix still has recursion and magic, and the system changes mean more jacks.
They said that
Krix is going to want to more take more jacks, which I think is a big deal.
They're going to have to take
they
more
are,
jacks.
But the fact that they're not going to be just like taking it because they have to, I think is a big deal.
Essentially, they didn't get any spoilers.
The one thing, not even just about that blurb, though, would be more so about what was spoiled before with the cards. The Slayer's at 10. If things are relatively still the same and the Slayer didn't double... the Chicken Jacks are only at 4 now, 4 or 5. And
I
the most
they'll go to 7?
6 or 7 is like where I could see them being at. I don't know. I don't think they're 8 in the new scheme. I mean, they could be, maybe. Depends on what other rules they might give them.
So let's say you got 28. If they're 7, you can get 4?
So that, well, if they move them to 7, yeah, assuming you have Warcaster's 28 points, you can get 4 Jacks for free. In fact, because that's only 24, and you'd still have points to spare.
And they all get a focus.
Now, we don't know what the rules are going to be. I hope they still keep Arkna. That feels integral to the design.
Absolutely. I'd just be more excited. If I were you, I think the fact that... I'm assuming they mean you're going to want to take heavies.
Yeah, true. The best thing in the world, though, is that Inflictor sprue.
Yes, that was an unofficial thing that came out off this, but yes, there was a sprue. It was an Inflictor, and I think it was 8 equals 13. Right?
13 points. You can get two of them and an Arc Node.
I think the
for somewhere around free.
The fact that it exists, I think, is enough to make critics fucking...
I think that might be the standard build, though. Two Inflictors, Arc Node, go.
This is not Dojo time, sir.
I'm sorry.
They had nothing new, and you just hijacked it for 10 minutes of Crix talk.
It was nothing officially.
I know.
Yeah.
Crix is great.
So next we have Rhett. Nothing new as far as spoilers from the Primecast. They did talk about Power Boost there.
And the fields. The regen on the fields.
The regen on the fields, you can still spend a focus. That's not new. I was going to get to it, you son of a bitch. Anyway, the Power Booster is now a game, so you can give stuff focus and get a focus from Power Booster.
It's got hostile.
But as far as Power Booster goes, I know a lot of people were conjecturing whether or not you'd be able to use it to add on to focus now. So you can give, say, 2 to a Jack and then Power Boost up to 3. That has been confirmed. You can do that. It is gained, but you still can't go over the limit of 3, so it doesn't allow you to overboost. So there'll be that cap on it.
What other things have Power Boost? I know the Warwitch Siren does.
Strange Ways.
Kador.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that might become like a Rhett-only thing. If they keep it with the Arcanist and then everything else kind of loses it for something different. Power Boost specific, I mean.
I don't think so.
No. It also gets rid of Disruption.
Because Power Boost was in factions before Rhett came out as a faction.
Which I think will be a bigger deal.
So. True.
You might actually see more of it, and you might see more Power Boosting. And then, yes, Myrmidons can still spend a focus to recharge their field. They specifically said you'll now have it instead of having to give one to a Jack to regen your field. You'll get one for free.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think it'll happen very often. I think they'll use it focus and do something else like run or shoot a gun because they almost all have guns. So, I mean, you might see it every once in a while now whereas you never saw it before. Like, I have nothing else to do with this thing. I guess I'll regen my shield. But I think the focus will be more used towards doing stuff on the table than regenning shields. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Next, we have Convergence. Still not in Prime. They went back over the power-up, or not getting power-up and how induction works.
The only thing that they did, the only thing new at all, was that they said, yes, the corollary is still there, yes, it still works, and basically more or less hinted that I'm going to get 6 focus out of it every turn.
So I should kneecap you for bitching as much as you did the last episode?
You should absolutely kneecap me for
Dick.
It.
In the Aurora tier list, did the Angel also become FAU? Now that tier list didn't do it?
No.
Okay, just wondering.
So I can certainly see him being FAU now. They changed other stuff.
I would love that. True, but it usually seemed indicative of tier lists before that allowed you to do so, or the models they're doing it for. So, I mean, we can already guess Enigma Foundries might just standard be FA4.
Mm-hmm.
They might change how they work. They might up the points on I'm not sure, but they're probably standard be FA4. I just don't know if they're going to have any, like if Clockwork Angel is going to go FAU.
Nope, there was no other spoilers for us. We're not an actual faction.
That is true. You're not in Prime.
Yes, and you knew that when you
Primal, bought. You're not a real faction.
Yes, I won't get into the temporary faction.
I want you to get more stuff too. I don't see why they shouldn't, but they have, you people are warned.
Okay, two things since that comment was made. One, I will admit for new people to try to find the warning, you have to go digging to find the warning.
True.
But a side note, they actually did say we are getting a new Forces of books. So later. So if it's 2017, it's no longer this year, we may get new casters and stuff.
Fair.
Next, we have Trollbloods. Obviously, it's going to be a big change for them, but it actually affects the whole game. They have officially confirmed that tough is changing. You now can no longer tough if you are knocked down.
So effectively, the first time you tough for 90% of the things, you get knocked down. You can't make a tough roll again.
Oh, dear God. I didn't think about Kriaz's feat before.
Well, that stays the same.
Holy
tough goes away.
Shit.
Yeah.
You ran all those tough models, Haley. Very nice. Blip. Pop, 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 pop. Gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Auto hitting, no toughing on the same feat seems pretty good.
Yeah.
I was thinking the thing that's going to be very interesting is if effects still are in play that make you immune to knockdown. Yeah, so Garrolock and Blood Gorgers or Surefoot, heightened reflexes.
Yeah, Surefoot. All over trolls.
I think they will, because I think that'll be the out. Because it doesn't exist in a lot of places, the ability to get tough and no knockdown. It's not like it's rampant.
Every faction has something.
But I was going to ask, I just didn't know if the instances of it were going to scale down.
They might.
Maybe Garrolock loses it to keep Blood Gorgers with tough.
I will say,
I don't know.
One thing that was said when they were mentioning the tough thing was they mentioned how it opened up the design space because it's so hard to balance tough. It's mm-hmm. so hard to balance some of these things. And I think if nothing else, with some of the stuff where it's like, well, trolls never had this, or trolls never had that, or they paid this, or Kator had this because we had, you know, I think if they get rid of a lot of the real big problem makers and they open up this design space, we might see some really unique units coming out in these fields.
Also, in Troll Bloods, Farstrike as an Animus is now ranged self. However, they did say that they are going to be adjusting ranges for Troll Beasts. They picked one model specifically.
The Battle Engine.
Yes.
We lose two range on it, but we don't have to cast a spell.
With Farstrike.
Correct. This goes back to their comment on opening up design. There's a reason why we only ever had 8-inch guns.
Right.
And it's because of Farstrike. And there was a lot of times where I wouldn't want to take an Impaler, so I just had to deal with my 8-inch guns.
You're not allowed to say we to, like, half the factions that we go through.
Trolls, Kator, and Convergence. What do you want from me?
And they made some comments about how Troll Blood units are going to be more niche. I don't really know what that means. Well, champions will be more killy, warders will be more durable, but I don't know how that's actually going to apply to the table.
Specifically, they clarified that warders are going to have shield guard. That's kind of a big deal. That was clarified later in the forums.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
Yes, warders are getting shield guard.
You're going to have a shield guard unit.
If I'm going to guess the differences, you're going to see warders be probably another unit that stays at 8. The shield guard thing I didn't know about. Champions are probably the only thing that still is weapon master.
And I believe it was champs. Yeah. I could be wrong. Somebody can correct me. But they did also say one of the other units, and I'm pretty sure it was champs, are going to have a no knockdown if they're base-to-base ability. So essentially defensive line, but instead of +2 armor, they get no knockdown.
Right. I mean, there has to be a difference between them. If you have warders stay at 8 with shield wall, you have champions stay at 5, so it's a difference of a unit that has the durability or a unit that is a little bit more glass cannon-y.
Yes.
But I don't know what it means for all the other models, because they're talking about it as a faction. They used champs and warders as their example. They said all their units are going to be more niche, more specific.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Hopefully it's not too overly specific.
Didn't they bring up Fenblades too as like the
standard general?
Yeah.
I thought that was Creel Warriors or something.
Yes, you're right. Creel Warriors. They specified Creel Warriors.
They also said, I believe, the stone is staying unchanged. I think that was another later.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I thought for sure there'd be one.
Again,
thing
some
that
of this
got
was
changed.
Stuff that was confirmed.
That's going to be a
later.
Point adjustment.
Yeah.
That's going to be a point adjustment.
Right.
Next, we have Circle. Thunder Ravager Chieftain grants Vengeance. He also has a mini feat that grants Overtake. They said Tharn Ravagers are cheaper, and they made some comment about Skinwalkers being resilient. We're not sure exactly what that means. Maybe they'll get an armor buff. But I think, I'm assuming they're going to go down in boxes. They don't seem like one of the units that are going to get 8, so I don't know how much more resilient they're going to be. Anything you want to cover there? I mean, giving the mini feat to the Tharn Ravagers is kind of cool because they have that whole corpse token thing, so they can kill a model, move, buy an attack, kill them. It's almost like the killing spree almost, as long as they can keep getting corpses off living models. Yeah. So I think that's cool.
I think it'll be neat to see if this is how they're going to get you to take all the units, is by making them a little more specific. They've got such a catalog of models. They can't make them all good, but you can make them all good in a certain spot.
You can make them all niche.
Now, Tharn Ravagers are 6-man meaning base, right? 5 or 6?
They are 6. Skinwalkers are 5.
Okay. Do we think that Vengeance is going to be really big on a 6-man unit? I think that's one of the problems with Vengeance on the not 10 or 12-man units.
Yes, and my reasoning behind it, I mean, having it on a 10-man unit is astounding, but if your opponent can't kill all of them, it's just free attacks. It's free attacks and free distance.
It's also on Circle, who can throw a guy at them, or maybe move some guys. Like, they're already good at moving stuff around.
I didn't say it's bad. Obviously, a rule that gives you a benefit is never bad. I'm just not sure how useful it's going to be, especially if they're going to go down to 5 boxes. So, I mean,
we'll see.
We'll see. I know that the more models you have in a unit, the better that particular ability gets.
Of course, that scales up.
Legion, no specific spoilers as far as models go, though they did touch that Legion's Fury Management is going to be toned down.
Fury Management in general.
Fury Management in general. They don't want everybody to be able to run, you know, spend 30 Fury and then be able to pull it off like 3 beasts and then pull the rest off with their caster. Legion's still going to be able to do it better than anybody else, but they're not going to be able to do it like they did before. That's what they said.
They said two things. They said that the Fury management overall was going to be. I don't think they used the word toned back, but that was the feeling I got
from it.
I
thought he did, but that's
okay. But that's basically, they were said, you're not going to run seven heavies or six heavies in a Legion list.
So,
put them all up to Max Fury and then put them all back down. They also said they were going to try to make Legion take some troops.
Yes. Now, let me ask, if they're going to nerf the Fury management, what do you, Shepherds can only remove two?
I think Shepherds would probably stay the same. I think Forsaken would be the ones that change.
Okay. That's the one that can be really abused very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Forsakens are probably going to be the one that changes more.
And what do you think that would be if you had to just throw a...
I'm not too sure where the change will go. On the opposite end, though, if the Shepherds were the ones that stay the same, I wonder what... And I'm jumping ahead. We haven't touched them yet. I wonder what Scorn Beast Handlers go to if Shepherds stay the same. So I think the Forsaken is probably the one that's... I mean, at least the better of the two. I mean, only because it can do an offensive output as well.
It's a longer range.
Yeah.
It's an offensive output.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it had Terror to protect it. Its stats were kept it alive a little mm-hmm. bit better.
Whereas Shepherd is just a Fury bot.
Yeah.
But if that stays the same going into the next edition, and that's the thing it has... and Scorn loses it and gains something else, I think that still makes them better at Fury management than anyone else. Anyway, I digress.
So we'll definitely see with the Legion. I think it might be the Shepherd. They might even bring it down to you can only remove one.
Ooh, that's
I don't
a lot of Fury management except for Scorn, which they also said was getting to. And if you were able to keep the Forsaken and then only remove like one or two with a Shepherd. Just being able to go up and clear all the Fury off, I think they're going to try and get rid of. It may be up to three. You may not be able to pull everything off every beast that a Shepherd goes. Because you can take two or three of them, right?
You can take two. What if they make it so they take off one and they turn them into a unit? And then they each just pull off one. Almost the same thing that Scorn can do. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just the Scorn unit. Yeah. Anyway.
So the only thing we hear about Scorn, which is next, is all Immortals have an ability called Soul Vessel. So they will now always give souls.
They made them damn robots. That was mine.
Scorn equals Convergence.
No, Convergence equals Scorn.
There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Scorn was around first. Right. Convergence is copying their highly perfected, you know, statue making.
Yeah, okay.
And Cataphracts are only going to have five boxes as per the new Kador Medium Infantry.
Thing. Can we also hit on the one thing that I was waiting for him to actually say in the podcast, and that is a reduction in Scornergy? Because like he's like, yeah, and the pieces will fit together more and this. And I'm just like, say Scornergy.
They did tone down Scornergy throughout. I don't know if they're going to do it for Scorn or not.
They specifically made things about you'll be able to fit pieces together that you right. couldn't fit before. Like
They'll put all that Scornergy back into Barathrum again.
I don't have too much to say about the Scorn stuff. I mean, the Cataphract, I think that needed to... I'm very happy for that change, even if somebody plays score. 5 box from 8, that's a big deal. And what was the other, the Fury, that was it for them?
That was it. They're obviously going to probably get hit by Fury management a little bit in some way. Because like they said, they were trying to get rid of it. Or at least tone it down a little bit. And then we have Mercs and Minions. Nothing really except from what was in today's Insider. So there'll be no packs or contracts.
If you were keeping track, we did happen to keep a faction out. And that was not on accident. And that last faction would be Menoth. And the reason we kept that out is because Menoth is Jim's baby. And I had to basically con him into getting over here to podcast tonight. So the changes to Menoth were they are going to buff some of the jacks to mat 6, but the Choir's Battle no longer buffs attack rolls, only damage. We can soapbox that in a second, but they also said that all cavalry will now have reposition, which was the new reform. Heavier the cav, the less you can reposition, and they used Avengers as an example, saying that you would get reposition 3. So Jim, you have the clock. Go.
I don't think you want me to.
I do.
No, you really don't.
Go mild.
Just
okay. So first off, all the protector jacks already are mat 6. They clarified it in a post that the Guardian chassis is going to get the +1 mat, which is 2 jacks out of whatever amount of jacks I have, and that the Crusader chassis is going to stay at mat 6. I don't know if that means more are going to get it or not. But it's bad. It's not good. It's a -2 to hit and -2 mat and rat for pretty much my entire army. Between the two editions.
Maybe you do get 3 units of Zealots with Monolith Bearers.
I just think it was their way of bringing some kind of... Not some kind, but a little balance of making you have to decide on if you want to go with the no spells, no shooty, versus being able to do the damage
out. No. They already did that. You couldn't do it all at the same time.
If I had to guess something, and it's to hint on 2 things we said before, the Trollbloods, when they were being designed, had to design around snipe. So you couldn't give a war beast a high range on its gun naturally because it would just go up by four should the player want to do so. Now, the one thing I was surprised about was that the krill stone, aside from a point adjustment, isn't going to change in its nature. So I first heard the thing about the impaler. I'm thinking anything that's like an army-wide design feature that isn't necessarily tied to a caster is going to get changed in its nature.
I think the reason that the krill stone may not have is because it's not as... it's not as big of a bonus. It's a huge overalling thing, but it's like a plus one. It's not...
it's a plus two plus armor plus to the armor. Whole army. Plus a strength buff. Or remove incorporeal. Or immune to continuous effects.
Yeah, it is pretty good. What I was getting at, though...
what the fuck are you talking about?
Short of that, though, the one thing it seemed like is that they're trying to make it so they can design new jacks going forward to do things that the old ones couldn't because choir existed.
This was actually specifically mentioned in the podcast that they were like, we wanted to open up the design space. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they can only do one per turn, but I guess what I meant was it's being able to already do all of those... I guess it was leading to that it's going to open other
and
things
up. They didn't mention that they were taking away the denial aspect of it.
No, they didn't. They specifically didn't say that, which I think is for a reason. I don't think that's going to change.
No.
I think it's acquired tax. I don't know. I know I said that and you got mad, but like, I don't know, because they want to, it's going to open up other things.
It's the removal of acquired tax. Just sure. Like, I bet you the troll points change because we're not going to pay a tough tax.
But like you said, they're not going to lower the point costs of my jacks. They're already one of the cheapest jacks in the game.
I think they might.
It might go down a point, but you're not talking about like taking them.
What if a reckoner goes to 14 instead of 16? I mean, that's
it'll still suck now.
I don't know how you could. I don't think.
Well, they mentioned rats. They mentioned Matt. Did they say anything about the rats changing?
No, only Matt.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, we don't know. Maybe they go to 6-6 across the board, and they just didn't say the rat.
And that's what I was saying to get Jim off the ledge.
I would assume that's not the case, because they came back and clarified further about the mats and stuff, that's and right. They didn't say, and people kept asking about it, and they never said anything about that. So, yes, I don't know what they're going to change. You want the fucking soapbox? Here's your fucking soapbox. Protector jacks are pretty much one of the worst jacks in the game without the choir. They're mat 6, they're at 5, most of them are speed 4. We have a few with reach that might, we have one with reach at speed 5. Everything else that has reach speed 4. All their pals are pretty much like 17s and 16s. The choir was, yes, a necessary model for your jacks. First of all, it made them all like 9-point jacks instead of 8. Because you take a choir and you take 3 jacks, you now have 9-point jacks. So they weren't super undercosted. They were still 9s. We don't really have a ton of hit buffs in our faction. We have one spell I think of, and I think Thyra might have one. So we have Eye of Menoth, which is a +1 hit buff, and Thyra. Guiding Hand, I believe, only works on infantry models, and if not, it's only the first attack. So now you're talking about mat 6 jacks that are pal 17, and now I have to take a choir that I get really no benefit for. I get 2 pal to put me at the same pal as most other heavies, because most of my shit's 17 or 16. And instead of getting the to hit buff, which is what they were giving me, which isn't the same thing or even comparable to a +2 armor buff to the whole faction with a +1 damage buff in it, I don't understand why this needed to get nerfed. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe they have stuff that's there. But to me right now, all they said is your entire faction's core identity is gone. Your jacks that were the best.
No.
Your core identity was
the Jack faction.
Your core identity was
denied.
That's
why I got in the game.
I'm not saying you specifically, but the faction itself, its core identity has always been said to be denial. And and you still, they didn't touch your denial. They didn't touch anything.
You don't know that.
We don't know.
All I know is the first thing I found out about my faction was one of the biggest things they could have taken away from my faction.
But we don't know what else they did across the board to balance that. The reason they did that for a reason.
Then they shouldn't have said it. They should have left it alone. Why even tell anybody about this?
They specifically answered a thing later, and I sent you the text and talking about what they said, where it's like, we're taking this in a vacuum, but based on us, we're assuming things based off of minor little spoilers that we don't know the core rules. We don't know the rest of the faction stuff.
This important to a faction. What is the point of this? All it does is enrage every Menoth player that's listening to this podcast. Because we have nothing else to go on except the biggest part of our faction. The thing that makes our jacks even playable.
You have to go on.
As good as Mat 6, Rat 5, that's better than every Kator jack in the game.
Oh, because you don't have Mat 6?
I have Mat 6. I have Rat 4.
Oh, I get a bunch of Pal 13 guns.
What you have to go on is that how many things up to that point...
You have longer ranges on your guns. Mines are mostly 12 or less.
The one thing that you can't compare across faction because they do... Different
you have more armor.
I agree.
That is fair.
You have access to Pathfinder.
Full boxes. Yes, we can't compare cross faction. My thing is, what have they done up to this point that you didn't like? Everything has been good. This is the first thing that they did that was negative. And maybe pre-measuring. But... For the game, I don't think pre-measuring is bad.
Doesn't matter.
But I'm saying is, have the faith that they're going to, that this is not going to crush your faction. Have the faith that everything else they've done to this point, you have liked.
I guarantee you that if you went Trollbloods, lost the stone, and no longer gives armor, they're not going to have faith that their shit's going to come back some other way. They're going to be pissed off. If you're going to do something like this, you don't do it as a spoiler with nothing else. All I have now is my faction is flat out worse. In a magnitude that nobody else has to deal with
at the
moment.
But based off of Mark 2 things with one ability going into Mark 3. We have nothing
else to
do.
Mats aren't changing. Defenses don't seem to be changing.
You don't know what abilities they're adding. You don't know what else jacks are going to get. You don't know what spells are going to change. You don't know what else is out there.
Then they shouldn't have put this out.
Regardless, we're just going to have to wait and see. That's all we got. I agree. It's a kind of shitty spoiler to give to Menoth. I'm not trying to say that. It is. I wish they would have given them something a little bit. But I don't have a problem with the change innately. So I think that pretty much covers everything that was released. It was a lot of stuff. I promise at some point we're going to get back into an hour format. But it keeps being Christmas every day.
It keeps being PP's fault too.
I want to thank Brad for joining.
You're welcome.
Today. And we hope to have you on again and many times going forward.
I hope to be here.
And if you have any questions or comments or any thoughts on these topics, don't forget to find us on Facebook or email us at fullyboostedpodcast@gmail.com. For Fully Boosted, I'm Grant.
I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
I'm still a snowflake.
Thanks for listening.